welcome to join us tonight. I'm Oakland County Executive Dave Coulter, and I know that these are uncertain times. I want to make sure that you have the facts about the coronavirus so you can stay safe and healthy. We will also tell you what steps we are taking at county government in lockstep with our public health department to slow the spread of the virus in our community. Hillary Chambers, do you want to give us some instructions?
Good evening, and welcome to our special telephone town hall for residents throughout Oakland County. My name is Hillary, and I work for Mr. Coulter. Let me tell you a little bit about the call, and then we'll get started. Because of the number of people involved, it's set up as listen only. So you can hear us, but we can't hear you. When we get to the question period, and you can press 9 on your phone if you would like to ask a question, when you press 9, you'll be transferred to another member of our staff. They'll take down your name and your question, and that way I will be able to actually open up your line, and you'll be able to ask your question directly of County Executive Dave Coulter and Kathy Forsley, the director of our health department. So again, welcome to our special telephone town hall for residents on the coronavirus. If you would like to ask a question, press 9. Now I'm going to turn the call back over to Dave Coulter.
Thank you, Hillary. Again, thank you for taking so much time with us to hear the latest on the coronavirus. I want to be able to tell you everything that we're doing here in Oakland County, at Oakland County government, and just know that we're working with our public health department to slow the spread of this virus in our community. I'm Dave Coulter, the county executive, and I'm joined this evening by Kathy Forsley, who's the director of our health department. So, Kathy, why don't we start with you, and I'd like to ask you to maybe just explain the basics of the coronavirus just so that everybody has a common understanding.
So the coronavirus, this coronavirus is a novel virus, and what that means is it's new. It's new to us, and because of that, we have no immunity to it in our population. So that's why you are seeing cases climb around the world because of that. So what do we know about the symptoms? The classic symptoms for it are cough, a fever of 100.4 or higher, shortness of breath. Those are the three classic telltale symptoms. You can have others like scratchy throat, runny nose, even some gastrointestinal upsets. But that cough, fever, and shortness of breath are really true indicators. And who can get the virus? That would be anyone can get the virus. But what is different about it is how it impacts different populations. So for the most part, the coronavirus will impact us in sort of a mild to moderate symptoms. But there is sections of our population we need to be very careful with, and that would be seniors, generally 60 or over, but really anyone else, too, that has underlying medical conditions that could impact their immunity or impact their response to the virus. So we really need to be careful to really separate ourselves from that senior population or that more vulnerable population to protect them.
Thanks, Kathy. Remember, if you have a question, press 9. So, Kathy, if someone is feeling sick, what should they do?
So the first thing you should do if you suspect that you might or you're wondering if you might have the coronavirus or COVID-19, as you will also hear, that would you should definitely call your physician and have a conversation with that office. Tell them your symptoms. Should you know that you've been exposed to someone that has been diagnosed and confirmed with the coronavirus, you should also relay that to your physician. And if you've traveled recently, you should also relay that to your physician as well. It's important to call, and don't go in, but to call. because should they decide they want to see you because they want to test you, they're going to give you clear instructions on where to go and how to do that. We don't want you walking into an urgent care or a doctor's office unless you've called ahead and you've gotten the approval to do that, because we don't want the possibility of, if you do have it, to giving it to others that are in the waiting room or the healthcare workers that work there. The same goes for a hospital. Unless you feel you have life-threatening symptoms, you should not go to the hospital. If it is life-threatening, you should call 911 and let them know your circumstances so they can be prepared to assist you.
Good information. Maybe at this point I would invite a question. Remember, if you want to ask a question, just press 9 and we can unmute you. Hillary, do we have any questions at this point?
Yes, we have a question from Judy in Farmington Hills. Judy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Go ahead and ask your question. Thank you.
My daughter's pregnant. She's due in May. May 14th, she's supposed to do a C-section. We just went on a cruise. After the cruise, I was at the gym every day. I've been to the grocery stores. I've been out and shopping. Is it important for me to stay away from her if I have no symptoms? Pardon?
So you have no symptoms, but how long has it been since your cruise?
We got home a week ago on Saturday, so I've been home for, 9 days?
So the instructions for people coming off of cruises is to quarantine, self-quarantine, for 14 days, because that's the incubation period for coronavirus, 2 to 14 days. So if you have had international travel or travel on a cruise ship or even some domestic locations in this country where they're considered to be kind of hot spots for coronavirus, the recommendations are all the same, to quarantine for 14 days, especially staying away from people that may have underlying conditions that could impact their response to the virus, which would include, again, the senior population and many other folks that have other conditions. So it's important to quarantine and just make sure that you don't develop the symptoms. And here's another fact, is that some people may have such mild symptoms, they don't even realize they have it. So in those cases, they may never know they've had it, and yet they could still be carriers, which is why it's so important to quarantine.
Very good question. Hillary, do we have another question?
Yes, let's take a question from David in Rochester. David, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Sure.
Yes, I am. Yes, the question is, should you be concerned, or is it an issue if you're out walking and you, say, go through an area like a store or somewhere where the virus could be? Can you track that on your shoes as you walk, you know, through the store or through an area and then come home and walk into your home?
Well, you asked a very good question, and it's kind of a tough one. So if you're walking outside, you're going for a walk in your neighborhood, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You see a neighbor approaches you, just keep your distance and have a conversation from a distance. Social distancing is a tremendous tool that's been used for decades in public health successfully to stop the transmission and spread of disease. So I would say get outside in the neighborhood and walk. That's good for you. So now we're talking about the grocery store. The grocery store, as long as it's not crowded, there's probably nothing wrong with going to the grocery store to go grocery shopping. Again, as there's people in the aisles, I would definitely keep my distance. 6 feet is the number they utilize. But if someone's coughing or sneezing, I would definitely stay clear of that. You have to remember the person that used the cart before you or before them could have been ill and touched the handle, so use that sanitizer wipe if it's available to clean that off. But regardless, always make sure you're washing your hands frequently when you get back from grocery shopping. definitely wash your hands with warm soap and, warm water and soap, and do a thorough job for at least 20 seconds and dry them with a clean towel. So I don't want you to be fearful. There are still things you can do. It's important to keep your house stocked up with food and your prescription medications. But honestly, if there's an opportunity to take advantage of delivery services, I think that's a good option as well, too.
Thank you, David. So if you're just joining us, thank you. This is Dave Coulter, the Oakland County Executive, and I'm hosting this special call for residents to explain the facts around the coronavirus. Remember to press 9 if you have a question. Now, there's several thousand people on the phone, so we won't be able to get to every question, but just know that there's more information available, and we'll share that with how to get that later. So I want to talk a little bit about the number of cases in Oakland County. This number is changing by the hour, but we know that we now have 27 positive cases in Oakland County. What we know now also is that these people did not all have travel, either international or domestic. They're getting it in the community now, which tells us the coronavirus is in our communities. It's not just a travel issue anymore. Our public health department interviews each individual. They investigate the possible public exposures, and then we inform the public. We know that many of our cases had international or domestic travel, but some that don't, and that's an important distinction in the phase of this epidemic. Kathy, can you talk to us about who is getting tested at this time and whether we expect testing and positive results to increase in the next days and weeks?
So testing has been a bit challenging. In the initial stages last week, the only laboratory that was able to test was the state laboratory in Lansing called the Bureau of Laboratories, and they had very limited capacity, just over 100 tests a day they were able to run initially. Now, however, there are commercial laboratories that are also ramping up, and they are providing testing, which opens the door to more testing opportunities. And in addition to that, a number of our hospitals here in Oakland County have gotten their laboratories ramped up and validated so that they can start testing. So for all of these reasons, besides the fact that we know that coronavirus is spreading in our community, you're going to see a lot more cases in the next few days as our testing capabilities are strengthened. The primary priority for testing right now are those that are being hospitalized with more severe illness. Hospitals are making sure that they're tested. And then from there, they're taking a look at people that are exhibiting more serious illness, or maybe they don't need to be hospitalized, but maybe they have a job where we really need to know if they have coronavirus because maybe they've exposed others. They're trying to prioritize so that who they're testing really makes sense in terms of long-term being able to protect the community even more. So not everyone's being tested at this time. If you go to the doctor or you call your doctor and you're experiencing symptoms that may be indicative of potentially being coronavirus or COVID-19, they may even tell you, well, it could be that, but we need you to stay home and just ride it out and call us back if your symptoms get worse. We're really focusing on those with the severe illness to get them into hospitals. But doctors may actually tell you, no, we're not going to test you right now. We're preserving those tests for those that have more advanced symptoms.
For those of you who wonder if all of these measures and precautions and restrictions that we're doing are an overreaction, I just want to say I hope so. But the numbers are not indicating that. We know that this is spread through contact with other people. And so we're going to continue to do reasonable things to make sure that we can preserve the distance between ourselves and contain the virus. If you feel helpless, I would encourage you to think of it just the opposite. We have the power to stop the spread of this virus by just taking these reasonable precautions, hand washing, don't touch your face, 6 feet from people, staying home if you're sick, to really slow the spread of this virus. And so, fortunately, people have been very cooperative, and we certainly appreciate that. So, Hillary, why don't we take some more questions?
Excellent. We will take a question from Elizabeth, who's calling tonight from Holly. Elizabeth, are you on the line?
I'm here. Yes, I am.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you so much.
Hi. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
The question was, we have a lot of family members that work for GM, and they're still being made to go into work despite the fact that the governor has said, you know, to keep our parties in small amounts. So my question was, how do we justify the fact that they're still working, and is there anything that we can do to help them? I mean, obviously, we're all in fear of even gathering with them at this point because of their exposure, but at the same time, we've got to welcome them into our homes.
Yeah. No, that's a very good question, because the governor and the president have not ordered a complete shutdown of all businesses. But what we are asking people, business owners and people who run plants and the like, is that if you can't provide for safe distancing within your workplaces, if there are more than 50 people that would gather in a specific site, and I would even err on the side of 10, which is what the CDC is now saying, and you can't allow them to be 6 feet apart from each other, then you should take measures at your workplace. These are right now up to the individual private employers, unless you're a restaurant or a bar or a gym, like the places that we have issued an order to cease operations, other than the carryout from your restaurants. Please support them. But I will tell you that the governor and the president are monitoring their actions, and how they comply will determine what other actions may be necessary. I was encouraged to see today that the big three automakers and the UAW are talking about modifications to automotive operations, and I expect that we may see something from them shortly. But we haven't banned all private businesses, and it's just the ones where you tend to have more congregation. But we strongly encourage those businesses, until we get to or have to get to the point where we have to take more drastic efforts, to take those efforts within their operations to reduce distance and the spread. Thank you, Holly. Great questions. How about another question, Hillary?
We have a question from Terry in Lake Orion.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I have a question. My father is 87 years old. He's in a rehab nursing facility because he had a stroke and heart attack. Once he gets better, he still cannot walk or anything, but they probably will be releasing him soon to another facility because he does need 24-hour care once he gets out. Should he be transferred to another facility? All these facilities for rehab, the nursing area, and assisted living, all these places are basically on lockdown. How can they be transferred from one to the other without some sort of reassurance that nothing will happen?
So what happens is these facilities are rehab, skilled nursing, assisted living, are all working very hard. As you said, they are working in a lockdown mode, meaning they're not letting any visitors in. Unless they are considered to be essential to the daily care of the individual. And those people, even those that are allowed in, have to be screened before they're let in, as well as when they're transferring from one facility to the other, there's assurance between the facilities that when someone's leaving facility A, they're making sure that they're leaving in a condition where we are sure that there isn't coronavirus present. And when they go to Facility B, they're screened again when they come in. So these facilities are working very well together to ensure that they're taking the very best care and isolating them from the general public. Even the employees that come in to work every day, even though they might have been there the night before, they're being screened again when they come in the next morning. So every time they enter that facility, they're going through a screening, and so they are taking extraordinary steps to make sure that they're keeping the virus out of the facility.
All of those kinds of facilities were part of the governor's order, so there is an extra level of protection and screening going on there. So sounds like as long as they're following the governor's recommendations, you should be okay. Another question, Hillary?
We'll take a question from Farmington Hills. I believe it's Gita?
Gita, yes.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hello.
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 Go ahead and ask your question,
ma'am. Yes. My question is, it's been less than a year since my last chemo for colon cancer. How concerned should I be? And I've been following the washing hands. However, I do go out for shopping. I'm a mother of four. And my next question is, why is it called COVID-19? I still don't understand what the 19 is for.
So the COVID, the COS is from corona. The VI is from virus. D is escaping me. So it might be disease. But at any rate, if they always
and
short...
19 is the year.
Yeah, 19 is the year. They always shorten it up and stick the year in there so that we can keep it straight and separate from all the other viruses that we track.
But her first question
Yeah, so your other question about taking care of yourself and protecting yourself from others, you definitely need to do that, and the best thing you can do is just follow those practices. Be very careful about who comes into your home. So if you have children in the house and they have friends, this may not be the best time to invite other children into the home because they're in that group where predominantly children do not show signs and symptoms of severe illness, and sometimes it's so mild we just look at them and think, wow, they just have sniffles, but they still could be positive. So just be careful with that and who they're interacting with and making sure to really take strong protections, and anytime you can avoid a crowd or a gathering of people is in your best interest for the next couple of months.
Great question. Hillary, want to take one more, and then we'll share a little bit more information.
Absolutely. Here, we have a question from Laura in Oxford. Laura, are you with
Hello?
Us?
Hello. Yes, I am. Thank you very much for this call. I was wondering, what is the proper way to do your grocery shopping? Do we need to wipe the products down? How long does the virus stay on the groceries or the mail or cash? I pay cash, and I'm worried about my mail, too.
So these are things that, first of all, if you are touching something that's a commonly touched surface, we're asking you to make sure it's clean and sanitized routinely. But the groceries that you're buying at the store aren't what I would consider to be commonly touched surface. In other words, everyone that comes through the grocery store is not handling that product that you picked up. Yes, of course, someone else could have handled it that might have the coronavirus, and you could always wipe down a can with cleaning solution on the outside, and you know, you can do that. But for the most part, I would say that if you handle something that's been in the grocery store, simply washing your hands immediately after grocery shopping should be adequate protection. If we're talking about fresh fruits and vegetables, you're going to be washing them. And actually a lot of those are in packages where someone else isn't actually handling them. And other things you'll be cooking. So, you know, your risk is a lot lower than if you're, say, in an office setting, for instance, and, you know, 15 different people are making copies on a copy machine. Will I be wiping that down between people? Those are commonly touched surfaces that are just constantly being touched throughout the day. The longest that we're hearing that this virus can survive on some surfaces, not all, is about, you know, 72 hours. So that's something to keep in mind. And then in the air, if someone coughs or sneezes and it lingers in the air, they're saying that, you know, a couple of hours and that's no longer an issue. So it dies off fairly quickly, and that's something to think about too. If you're concerned, you can set those supplies that you're buying in the store aside for a few days and you're good to go.
Okay. And that's a good time to just remind you all of some of the important habits. And I know these sound simple, but these are amazingly effective ways to keep you and your family safe. After you've touched things, wash your hands. Before you cook, wash your hands for 20 seconds. What do they say? Sing happy birthday twice with warm water and soap. It's really important not to touch your face, and it's amazing how often we do this. We don't even realize we're doing it. But get in the habit of not touching your face, because that's where the germs go, from your fingertips through your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. And, of course, the new guidance about staying 6 feet away from each other in public settings is really critical. This, of course, is called social distancing, and that's why that's so important. Kathy?
Another thing to think about is you're thinking about your homes. You know, think about the commonly touched surfaces in your homes, the doorknobs, the handle on the dishwasher, your phone, your remote. Clean them often. I've heard some creative people putting their remotes in a plastic Ziploc bag, and then they're going to change the bag out every day. It's a whole lot easier than cleaning between all the buttons. So, you know, there's lots of little things you can put into place in your home that are incredibly effective.
Okay, we're going to
Lori, this question.
We're going to go to a question from Andrea in Rochester Hills. Andrea? Andrea, are you with us? Okay,
hello.
We'll come. Hello. Andrea, are you there?
Just a quick question.
Yes, please.
So my friend, she had all the symptoms. She wanted to get tested. She called the hotline. She was waiting on the line for 4 hours, couldn't get through. Is there an easy way to find out whether you qualify for the testing and get help to be tested?
Well, if you've called your physician's office and you're just not getting, they're so busy they can't pick up the phone, another thing you could try is calling our nurse on call. We have a bank of nurses on call every day from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night, and then we have a little bit reduced hours on the weekend. But they're there to answer your questions, and they can help you. Their phone number is 800-848-5533. Again, 800-848-5533. They can answer your questions. If they can put you in touch with the right people. Sometimes they can even be very helpful in getting testing if that's warranted.
Good. Another question, Hillary.
We'll take a question from Patty in Lake Orion.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, my question is, I have been seeing in social media today that if we happen to get sick and experience fever or just cold symptoms, that we should not at all take ibuprofen, Motrin, Advil or aspirin, since these affect somehow, you know, our respiratory system, and they could make the virus potentially worse. I don't know if this makes sense. I'm confused, and I'm hoping that this question is going to help not only me, but all of us who have read this on social media today.
Thank you.
So when it comes to ibuprofen or other fever-reducing medications, I'm always going to refer you to your physician because your physician knows things about you that I don't. The other thing you're indicating is that some are saying that if you take a fever-reducing medication, it could make it work. I believe what they're referring to is the fact that we have fevers for a reason, and that is to deter that virus from growing in your body. However, we don't want fevers to get too high. We generally want to keep them down in a range that's manageable by our bodies. Again, I would recommend you call our nurse on call to have a more detailed discussion about that. But, you know, the best place you can have that discussion, of course, is with your physician because they know best. The other thing you might be hearing about fevers is that often you will hear you don't return to work or to school until 24 hours after a fever has been reduced without fever-reducing medications because we want to know that your body's still not trying to produce a fever. If it is, you're still infected. And the other thing you should know about that is they're saying that you're not free of coronavirus until, or we shouldn't assume that, until 3 days after your fever has resolved without fever-reducing medications. But again, please talk to your physicians about whether or not you should be taking those medications.
Always the best advice.
A lot of people have asked for us to repeat some of the key numbers that we've provided this evening. So the nurse on call number is 1-800-848-5533. We also have an additional hotline established, which is 248-858-1000. So if you're having any other questions or concerns that you need assistance from the county, you can also call that number, and we have a phone bank set up to answer those questions. We have had on the call all evening two of our county commissioners, and I want to acknowledge that because the county board of commissioners have been very supportive of taking action and providing the resources that we need for the response to this pandemic. Commissioner William Miller, who represents the Farmington Hills area, is on the line with us, and Commissioner Penny Lubes, who represents the Troy area, is on the line. And I'm going to unmute their line for a minute and then see if they have a comment that they would like to make. So I've just made open Commissioner William Miller's line.
Thank you. I just want to ensure the community that our executive office and the board of commissioners are taking every step to make sure Oakland County is protected. I want to give definitely hats off to the executive team. They jumped in head first and hit the ground running. And I don't know if you have executive culture, if you've seen pictures of him, when does he sleep? I have the same question because he's been working many hours and his team has. So I was just want to ensure everybody that they're doing everything they can do and taking extra steps because it's the right thing to do and moving forward. So I want to appreciate them, and I just want to tell the community, if you need anything, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll respond as soon as I can. If it's a question that I don't have an answer to, I'll get it for you. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Commissioner Miller.
I want to go to a question that people have regarding takeout food. Since we've all been asked we can't go to a restaurant or a bar, I believe it's Ms. Forbers from Oak Park. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. And that's my concern. Hello. Because I'm getting mixed messages. I don't know if it's safe to go and get takeout food. And if so, is there anything that we can do above and beyond once we get that food home to protect ourselves? And the second part of my question is, I have an adult child at home that has to go out to work. What should we do when she comes back home?
So in terms of food, I want to assure you that the Oakland County restaurants are definitely safe kitchens to eat in. We have a very strong inspection program in our restaurants. Also, we have something called food service managers that are certified in every restaurant, and the food law protects us in terms of that's something that restaurants have practiced for a long time because it is in the food law that they may not have workers that are sick preparing your food. So they're very well versed about that. Restaurant managers work very hard to keep anyone that's showing any kind of symptom with illness out of their facility because the last thing they want is a foodborne illness that would really jeopardize their business. And they know that, and they care deeply about the people that are their customers. So I would not be at all concerned. I myself am going to be picking up food during this as a relief to me having to figure out where to get food from. So please don't worry about that. In some circumstances, they're putting their waitstaff to work and they're providing delivery service. If you have any concerns when you receive that food and if the food is hot food that's been cooked, you can always heat it up higher and make sure that you, maybe that'll make you feel more comfortable about it. But you should be rest assured that we have safe restaurants. The biggest concern and why the closure of restaurants had nothing to do with the kitchens. It has to do with people congregating in the dining rooms and being in close proximity to one another and spreading the virus that way. So, and when your child comes home, you know, when people go off to work every day, if they're practicing social distancing, they're coming home the same way they left in the morning. So I would just say remind your child to practice that social distancing and washing their hands. And when they're touching commonly touched surfaces in the office, wash your hands some more, and you don't have anything to worry about in those cases.
Good question. Hillary, do you have another question?
Okay. Yes, we have a question from Julie in Ortonville regarding the potential public exposure sites. Julie, are you there?
I am. My question is, and I believe you said we have 27 cases here in Ortonville or here in Oakland County. I would like to know, number one, how come we really haven't been notified where these cases are at? And if there's hot zones in Oakland County, that maybe we should steer clear of for a little while. I know we're all doing the quarantine, and I'm doing my best, but, you know, if there's 20 cases in Ortonville, I'm going to do a lot better.
So when there is a case, we do case traceback investigations, and what that means is we examine their history with them. During the period where they would have been contagious, we identify every place they've been and every person they were in contact with. We've been very fortunate with our cases to be able to identify a large number of people who specifically were exposed. And so the only time we publish locations is if we know someone was somewhere and we have no way of knowing who they were in contact with there. Keep in mind, it's close contact we're identifying. So if someone walks through a grocery store, you know, it's really hard to say who was a close contact of someone. So in those cases, we'll publish the location, and we have, and it's on our website, and we put out press releases about it, and the media has put it up on their website. So that, you know, for all the case contacts that have been done so far, that's all been completed and it's out there. But to simply say, you know, we have three cases in this city and two in another, we have no idea, especially if it's due to travel or where they've been during the day, to say what's a hot spot and what's not. It's really something we should just expect that it's in the community. We shouldn't feel that any one area is more or less a risk for us. As long as we're always practicing those measures, we'll be fine.
And then just to remind folks that the website, the list of the public exposure sites that we know of right now, you can find at www.oakgov.com, and on their front page it says COVID-19. If you link on there, there's all the resources that we have. Can I keep going with questions? Yes. We have another question from Farmington Hills. The first name is Ram?
That's correct.
Hi, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. Hi. My question is regarding, you know, what are the indicators, you know, a few weeks from now, you know, what will be the indicators to get the all clear to get back to normal social living?
We will get to that point when our cases, we stop seeing new cases. They could go on for a while. It depends on how well everyone is working and cooperating to practice all of the social distancing and do everything they can to protect themselves and the people around them from this virus. So as we watch other cities and nations in this country and around the world, we look at, you know, what does the curve look like in those cities? And I have to say that the earlier they start practicing these prevention methods, the better they fare. And so we are hoping that by getting out here early and talking to all of you and just reiterating these recommendations, that we can shorten that curve and flatten that curve. But it's going to take a while, a bit of time, but how long that takes is really up to how well we all do in practicing these prevention methods.
I'll take a question from Linda in Clarkston.
Yes, I have a 17-year-old daughter that had a really bad episode. I don't know what to call it because they couldn't figure out. She was on three different antibiotics throughout that period of time. It was from February 14th through March 2nd, and she was spiking at 102.7 temperatures, but the test for the coronavirus was not available at that time. And I was just wondering if you've already had or potentially had it and not known about it, is there a reoccurrence of that if you come in contact with someone again? Do you guys know if you can get reinfected?
So this is a new virus, and while we don't believe that you would be reinfected afterwards, we don't really know that. They're still gathering all kinds of information and really studying it in every country that it's happening in. And it may be a while before we know some of the answers to these questions. So at this time, that's not something, you know, that's well established, I have to say.
Hillary, do we have more questions?
Yes.
All right. Again, just if you're just joining us or you're just joining us recently, if you hit 9, we can get your questions and unmute you. We have time for a few more. So who do we have next?
We have a question from Katie Wilson in Berkeley. Katie, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you.
So today the president stated that CDC recommends limiting groups to 10 or less. How are we going to address high germ areas with large lines, for example, bank lobbies? Are they going to be asked to close or work only through drive-through? And what about offices that refuse to allow their employees to work from home?
Well, we do encourage employers to allow people to work from home when possible. But I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your question about...
The first part of the question was about, like, bank lobbies. You know, if it's less than 10 people, how do we handle, you know, different gathering spots?
So a lot of employers are working very hard to implement some of those recommendations, but this is moving very fluidly, very swiftly, It's taking employers a bit of time to change processes, but we're hearing from many that are working very diligently on that. So until they get these well-established practices in their offices or their businesses, the best thing you can do is to practice social distancing when you're in there, or try to go to those establishments at lower traffic periods.
So we have a question from Carol in Berkeley. Carol, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hello. My question is that I have a son who is in the high-risk category for multiple points, mainly because he has severely damaged lungs. And I work for a major employer in Oakland County, but we are getting no information from them as to what happens if I have to stay home in order to protect him. So I'm getting no information as to what will happen to my job, and whether I get paid or take FMLA or exhaust vacation. So, and like they're telling us that our social distancing is 3 feet, so we're close enough, you know, we're fine, but now they're saying 6 feet. What recourse do I have with my employer to try and get answers?
So at this point, it is an issue that you have to address with your employers, the HR director. If you're not getting satisfactory answers, I'd try to go up a level. Because this is serious, and we want to know if employers are not taking this serious, because as a rule, they are, and that's why more extreme measures have not been taken. But I think you need to be a squeaky wheel here, to be honest with you. I think you need to go back and express these concerns and how they impact you. The 6 feet rule is real. 3 feet is something that is not the recommendation, and you can show them that information. I know that's maybe not totally satisfactory, but they need to be responsible to you, and you need to raise these issues. Now, keep in mind, this is brand new for employers as well, and so it may be that they are having discussions to try to navigate this and to try to figure out the best practices, and so, you know, we could try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but you're going to have to be your own best advocate here and your child's best advocate, and make sure that they keep you in a position that is safe.
And Oakland County has been working hard at that in their own HR department. And so, you know, sometimes employers just need to be able to talk to someone that maybe has navigated this turf before. And you could always recommend that your HR department reach out to Oakland County and they can share some of their best practices with them.
All right. But we'll take a question from Mike in Clawson. Mike, are you there?
Nope. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I have a couple of questions. One is about social distancing. If the virus is, transmits asymptomatically, then how are we to know, who would be carrying it and be able to defend ourselves from it? Another quick question is, I'm a mechanic, and I get in people's cars who, I'm not sure if potentially if they have it, if they breathe it in the air, and I get in their car, would I be exposing myself to that?
So you raise a very good point that there are some people in the population that really don't exhibit many symptoms, or some that are so mild they still have symptoms. They just may choose not to recognize them, or they just don't recognize them as COVID-19. But we're trying to get the message out that no matter how slight your symptoms, you should take steps to stay home when you're sick. So we just want to broadcast that information to everyone. During this period of time, we have to take extraordinary measures, even with minor symptoms. So in terms of your question about getting into other people's cars, you make a very good point. You could always make sure that you have hand sanitizers, wipes to wipe down the steering wheel, or something that you're touching in the interior of the car. As for the air, if that's concerning to you, you can always purchase N95 masks at Home Depot and wear them while you're in the car, and you can reuse it, you know, throughout the day when you get into other people's cars. That might make you feel better, and it would certainly provide you with protection from the air. Thank you.
Hillary.
Let's take a question from Sheila, who lives in Leonard, Michigan. Sheila, are you still with us? You've been there very early on, so sorry you've been waiting. Sheila? Sheila and Leonard. Sheila was a senior caregiver. Her senior that she takes care of is what was 101 and homebound, but wants to go out. She was asking whether she was doing the right thing to keep her in the home and if there was other precautions she should take.
So it is here
now.
Oh, are you there?
Sorry. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
That was the question.
Okay. So thank you for taking care of the 101-year-old senior. That's a very important work. And thank you for asking that question because you're right on the money. I can tell that you are very careful with her and want to keep her indoors. And you're right. We want to keep her away from others that might be spreading the virus to her. That's very, very important. And, but, you know, if it's a nicer day and the sun's shining, I wouldn't hesitate to take her outside if she's mobile enough or in a wheelchair. You could wheel her out just for a few minutes. It's important to get fresh air and sunshine, too, but we have to be very careful with who she's exposed to.
Okay.
A couple more questions. We have a question from Rita in Madison Heights.
Hi.
Hi, Rita.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question because in the industries like in for eyeglasses and things like that, the employees come in contact within finger distances of people's faces constantly, and they're taking their glasses and adjusting them that things are on other people's faces, and that's not within a 6 feet distance. Is that safe, or should they not be doing this?
So who's doing the adjustments to the glasses? I'm sorry.
The employees are doing the adjustments, so it's, are the employees safe coming into contact with people like that?
Yes, I mean, it'd be good if they should be trying to separate themselves 6 feet from the person or stand above them so that they're not breathing in the same airspace. It's fine to make adjustments to the glasses and wash your hands when you're all through. Good idea to wipe down the glasses while you're working with, on them with an alcohol wipe. That's a good thing to do, too, because you, if you have something on your hands and then you're adjusting glasses, you don't want to leave that on the customer's glasses. But these things can be done if you're, you know, thinking it through about hand washing, providing adequate space between the person that you're fitting and then just, you know, going an extra step maybe and wiping down those glasses with alcohol wipes. All those things could be helpful.
Kathy, we have had a lot of questions about appointments, and you addressed this on the call yesterday in terms of is this a time when we get our hair appointment or our nail appointment or our various appointments, and you addressed it with seniors. But what would be your guidance in terms of these types of appointments that we all have on a regular basis?
So if we're talking about routine medical appointments and, you know, it's an annual checkup, call ahead to your provider if it's coming up and say, hey, would this be a good appointment to postpone until later? They may very likely say, yes, good idea. But they might say, I need to pay attention to what's going on in your blood work for one reason or another. It's really important that they have that. And they may give you different instructions even about how to accomplish that without even coming into the doctor's office. Or the doctor may be satisfied just by asking you a few questions about your health just to say, okay, you're good for another 3 months. You can come in then. Call your provider ahead of time, give them plenty of notice, and talk it through. when it comes to other appointments, like hair appointments or things that are really luxury appointments, if you can postpone them, I certainly would. If, you know, you're just not going to postpone the appointment, then I would absolutely encourage you to call ahead, make sure the person that's going to be working with you that day is feeling really healthy, and ask them what protections they intend to provide to make sure that if they had anything, or how are they going to keep you from being in contact with coronavirus, and see what they say and make sure you're comfortable with that. But we're advising everyone that if you can postpone it, this might be a good time to do that.
Okay, we'll take a question, and sorry if I mispronounced the name, from Farmington Hills, Maitri. Ms. Paul?
Yes, hi. I have a question. We are two people living in the home. If I get infected, how my husband will take care of me, as well as how would he prohibit himself from getting contaminated?
So we always say that when there's a couple of people in the home and one person has it, you should do your very best to isolate yourself from each other and move into perhaps, hopefully, separate bedrooms. If you can, if you have more than one bathroom, to use separate bathrooms. The person that's ill should not be in the kitchen handling, you know, the refrigerator door handle or the sink faucet. The person that's well should be preparing the meals and then doing their best to provide those meals without coming into the six-foot space, if at all possible, like if bringing a meal into a bedroom or into another space where the other person isn't going to be, put a tray down with food on it and leave, and then the other person walks over and eats it. So just do your very best to try to stay isolated from each other, and you'd be amazed how many people can have one person in the house get sick and never pass it on to the other one by taking precautions.
Good. Maybe one more question, Hillary, and then...
Okay, but before we go to the last question, I do want to open up the line for Commissioner Penny Lubes, who's been with us for the call, and say hello.
Hi. I just want to thank everybody. Hi. I want to thank everybody for listening and taking seriously the social isolation. It's wonderful to hear the questions and the responses so that we all have the information and education to go forward. Thank you very much to everybody.
Thanks, Commissioner.
I have a question from Oak Park, and is it Mr. or Ms. Cook?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I had a question about families with, like, no insurance, and that the news was, like, offering at a specific date that, like, doctors' offices are giving free exams for children to see if they have, like, coronavirus and stuff. And I was wondering if that's actually still available and, like, what the dates are, or it's, like, if it's even real.
You know, that's a really good question, because every day I'm picking up a new alert coming across my desk that's talking about a new incentive or, you know, insurance is changing to provide more access to be treated, seen and treated for, or not treated, but seen and tested for coronavirus. So there's a lot of opportunity out there that's changing every day, actually. So I would highly recommend you call our nurse on call, and they can help navigate that with you. And then even if you were to call tomorrow, you might want to call again in, you know, say a week or so to see if anything's changed. So please call our nurse on call. They're really good at helping people with questions like that. And that's 1-800-848-5533.
But we aren't currently testing people without symptoms. So the idea, the note, what you might have heard about a certain date,
I would definitely call the nurse on call because we haven't heard about dates being set up for free exams for children. Okay, a question from Derek in Ferndale.
Yeah, my question is concerning, like, people with mortgages and rent and utilities, and with all of the jobs shutting down, you know, is there some type of safety net being put in place to keep people in their homes and their utilities going and things like that?
Derek, that's a great question. So a few things have already begun. DTE and Consumers Energy have already announced that there will not be any shutoffs during this period of time. So those utilities will not be shut off. The Oakland County Water Resource Commissioner, Jim Nash, has also ordered the same for water service in Oakland County. So you will not lose those utility services in the short term. In the long term, we're going to have to really navigate the economic impact of this epidemic. I was really encouraged to see today that the governor has issued orders that affected unemployment, and she's working to expand the availability of unemployment to additional people. I think you're going to see a lot of us at the state and county and federal level really begin to look at what we can do in terms of this safety net. I was encouraged to hear today that the president has actually talked about sending $1,000 checks. I don't know where that will end, but just know that even though in the short term we're looking at this from a public health perspective above all else, we know that the actions that we're taking have an economic impact on real people in real jobs, and we take these actions very seriously, and we take that responsibility seriously. And just know that further assistance will become available beyond the unemployment help that the governor announced today and the other steps that we're taking. And so stay tuned, but know that we're looking at that very seriously right after the public health crisis is more fully addressed. Great question.
I just want to go over some of the basic information, and then we'll close out the call with comments from our county executive. Remember, when the call ends, you'll all be able to leave a message. So if you want to leave your name and phone number and question, we'll have staff begin to get back to you tomorrow. The website is oakgov.com, and then phone number is 248-858-1000. Go ahead, Dave.
Excellent. Thank you. By the way, I forgot one other measure we took today, and that is we want you to pay your bills online. And so if you paid online bills to Oakland County or your local community, today we announced that we're waiving the fees to do those online. So every little step that we can take to help reduce your expenses, we're going to be investigating. I just want you to know that I know these are unprecedented times, but the steps that we take today, now, is literally going to save lives and stop the spread of this virus. So don't panic. Stay close to your loved ones. Watch after your mental health. Don't isolate yourself. Stay in touch with people. But take all the necessary precautions that you can to keep yourself safe. And we will get through this together. So thank you for being on our town hall. We'll do this again as appropriate, but stay safe, everybody. Get through this. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.